I want to thank the sponsors, first of all, the Parnas HaChaydish, the Penny Schwartz, the Schwartz family, Zech and Ishmas, Rachel Gittelbas, Basra Naftali, the Nisham Mishnah Aliyah, and the Parnas Hayom, the Weinig family, Lezecha Nishmas Mechel, Ben Moshe, the Nisham Mishnah Aliyah, and Simcha Nachis and Brach. Hayom Dekecha, Achila, page Lamed. What we're doing what Jews do most of the time, which is talking about food, except we're talking about Achila B'Kedusha. Not about food, because of the taiva to eat, but we're trying to understand, to put into practice in our lives, a different way of eating, a certain consciousness when it comes to Achila. So we're on page Lamed, Oiz Dalad, Siv Dalad, Ha'avoida Hi Levarer. Now, oftentimes in this farm, especially in the earlier svarim, the word levarer, biruim, comes up all of the time. The word barur means when something is clear, and levar means to clarify. The melach of barur means to separate the good from the bad, the oichel from the psolas. When it comes to the act of eating, and eating b'kedusha, the ikar avod is the avod of birurim. That's why the Melachos of Shabbos and Mishum are going to be talking a lot about this avoda, which in the Melachos al Sidur the past that have to do with food, the Iker Inyan is this avoda of Birurim. During the week, Birurim on Shabbos and so on. Nimsa Shabbos the Seinu Ba'achila he Lizker es Metzias Hashem Isbar. The ikar avoda by eating, and it's something that is a dova shavul chal nefesh that we could all begin to work on, at least on the most basic level, is liskar as mitzius Hashem isbarach, is to remember mitzius Hashem. Liskar shuhu hadova ha'amiti, v'lo l'hispatois achrech yitzaynis. When it comes to eating, we learned that the Zohar Kaddish calls the time of eating milchama, lechem is milchama, and this is the milchama, to become lost in the taste and the taiva of the food, to remember, to enjoy the food, but to remember the mitzius Hashem, the chiyus of this food, the tam, is the nitzaitzis of Elokus. Zinikul avarer es, and that really is the meaning of this term, levarer es nitzaitzis, to sort out. The nitzaitzis, the sparks, means to sort out the Elokus when we're eating. Levara es ha'or ha'pnimi, or livror, to sort out and to locate, to remember the or ha'pnimi, the inner light, ha'amiti, ha'nitzayitz eloki, that elokus, mitoich ha'kisui ha'gashmi, to sort it out, like the ocha from the psolos. The psolos means over here, the kisui ha'gashmi, the physical taste and appearance and so on of the food. And the nitzayitz elokim means that remembering of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remembering Hashem. Kemis aravu yachad. Because Hashem made it in such a way where it's mixed together. Ad kedekach, in such a way, shebemare einayim nira sheyesh ragashmiz. That with our eyes, all we see is the gashmiz of the food. V'nira shatam v'achi is hem ma'amarech lagashmiz. And therefore it seems to us that the taste and all of the nutrition, the chiyus, the life that the food gives us is just from that physical, from the physical piece of food itself. V'ayuhud yitzarech levarer, and a Jew has to be mevarer, v'lachshav v'yediyah berura, and to think in a very clear way, kaidem ha'achila, when he sits down to eat, and to think of it also while he's eating, at times while he's eating, that this food is just a covering for the nitzaitis of Elokus. Shema koach haruchni, which is the spirit, which is the koach of ruchnius, hamachayev, hamahaves, hamachal, that of course gives existence and gives that taste and that chiyus. That's within the food. V'her eloki hazeh hu ikar hamaycha. And that's the ikar of the food. V'atam shalom, v'achiyas shalom. That's the taste. And that's the chiyus. Look at footnote Membez. What about Miss Kol Yehudi? And the truth is, and I spoke about this last week, that every single one of us, b'shar shemavarech, and when we make the bracha, hu mevarech nitzaitzis. The bracha itself, of course, is the entrance into the act of eating, and that's being mevarech nitzaitzis. Ki b'bracha hu machriz. When you make a bracha, you are proclaiming. It's good to say it out loud, to be mechazik everybody else as well, and to be mezakeh them with that zikaron as well, and the opportunity to say amen. But bebracha umachu is your proclaiming. Hashem is baruch that Hashem created this umahava isa, and He's giving it its existence. Like Moshe Yetzer Rotz Lahatayis Kiilu Shagashmi Sodor Akarim LaAtzmo, and not as the Yetzer would prefer that we make this mistake to think Kiilu the Gashmi is existing on its own. And the Sheish B'Zeh Madregas Rabbis Kam Ha'Adam Meivin Shashem Shbaruch Hakol. There are many madregas. And we have to try to ascend higher and higher in this avoda, lahargish yosef yosef, to feel more and more, to be more conscious of this. Ech Hashem is baruch hu hakol, hu oisa hakol, hu akoyach v'hametzias ha'amitias ha'yechida, that Hashem is everything, and He's the koyach and the metzias ha'amitias ha'yechida, the only Koch, the only Mitzvah is Kirakhu Chai V'Kayim Ba'atzmo. The only Hashem is Ruach is Chai V'Kayim Ba'atzmo. Ilukol HaMitzvah HaGashmiz. And all of the Mitzvah HaGashmiz, Hirak Levush V'Kisui Al Ha'or HaLuki. There's only a covering of the Or HaLuki. Lo'asad Lava Nema. When Mashiach comes, it says in the Pasuk, Le'ikanef Oid Marecha. That our teacher, Hashem, our master, our teacher, will no longer be covered. Lo yikanef, will no longer be covered. V'ahoyu enecha ra'os es morecha. And our eyes will be able to see Hashem. That everything is a lukus. V'nema kimolar is deyes Hashem. The world will be filled with deyes Hashem, with that awareness of Hashem. K'oz zeyeh begilui, then it will be revealed. V'yizbatlu ha'klipas v'hakisuyim. And all of the klipas, all of the coverings will disappear. Ukulam iru bebirur, and we'll all be able to see in the clearest way. Eich kol harbiyah chai rak miha orher eloki. How all of creation exists and is alive only because of the orher elokus. V'yedu shalo rak shehu yizbaruch hasholeit v'hamaniga yachid. And then we will know that not only is Hashem the sholeit v'hamaniga yachid, that He is in control of everything. Which, when one looks at the Svarim before the Baal Shem Tov, certainly outside of the world of the Mekubalim, the Ikka way of looking at things is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Sholeit and the Manig, that Hashem, which is true, that Hashem is ruling over everything and in control of everything. That, of course, is true, but that's not the whole story. The whole story is that it's not just that Hashem is the Sholeit v'Hamanig HaYachid. What Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Ari HaKadosh, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, all the Mekubalim, the Ramchal, the Vilna Gaon, the Rishash, all the Mekubalim over and over were teaching us and reminding us that it's not just that Hashem is, it's not just that there's a Hashgacha, that Hashem is watching. Elisharaku HaMetzias HaMitis, but rather that only Hashem is the Metzias HaMitis. The Metzias HaMitis is Hashem, everything's a Lokus. V'chol HaBriya Hirak Kli V'Gilui La'oro. And all of creation is just a kli. And a gilui, it's only a kli by means by which Hashem is megala that or. Back inside. The last sentence on page Lamed. V'yizbonu b'machshavas habiru hazu. A person should think. V'yachshav. Minayin, just very practical. It's all very simple, straightforward, and practical. That's what we're trying to learn. A very simple and clear way. Person should try to think. Minayin yesh l'marach al koach lo seis chiyus la'odom ha'ochlo. How does this food, now even though the box says on it it's got this kind of energy and these kinds of fats and all this stuff and calories, minayin yesh l'marach al koach, from where does this food have the koach? Lo seis chiyus la'odom ha'ochlo, to give chiyus to the person that's eating it. Where does that come from? If I don't eat, I can't live. And the chiyus comes from this food. It's only the Dvar Hashem. It's important to get used to asking ourselves questions. It's you know, that things that we know and we take for granted, we have to constantly remind ourselves. And the best way to remind ourselves is by asking ourselves. So we don't take these things for granted. And the bracha that we make is a moment to think and to ask ourselves. Minayin yesh l'machal, karech los es chiyas l'adam ha'ochal, v'vaday, rak dvar Hashem es rochsho besoicho, hu ha'machaye es ha'adam. Only the dvar Hashem she besoicho, hu ha'machaye es ha'adam, that gives life to man. V'ilu gashmiyas ha'machal, as far as the gashmiyas of the food, yirak atifa u'klipa l'zeh. It's a covering, it's a klipa. V'oz yikav ha'machshavtoi, sh'nitzoytis ha'kadoshim him etzlo ha'ikar, and to remember that chiyas of elokus is the ikar. Rak heim noisnim is achiyas. Only the elokus within the food is what is giving the food that chiyas, that thing that's called life. That somehow when you eat, it keeps you alive. You're able to live. I was just talking to my son-in-law, to Yudari in Yerushalayim, and he was telling me there's a chevra of 50 bachram from Eretz Yisrael that they got stuck in Karastir. By the yard side, that they're not letting them back yet. They didn't let them back yet at Eretz Yisrael. So I said, "Don't worry, Karastir. The rest of their lives are going to say that Reb Shaila took care of them. They have what to eat over there. I'm not worried about them. They'll somehow manage to survive in Karastir." But to remember, where's the chiyus of? How did the chiyus come into the food? Where does the chiyus come from? What is this life that's in the food that we eat? Everything that exists. That's what it means. That's the biro of the Nitzaitis. And when a person remembers this, when a person thinks about this, Rakheim Hatam Hatayv, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave not only Chiyas, but in his loving kindness he also gave the food a tam, a taste. He gave Rakheim Hatam Hatayv, and these Nitzaitis, the Chiyas and the Tam Hatayv. And that's really what his neshama wants. His neshama wants to come into contact with this elokus, with this chiyas, that's in the food and it's in the taste of the food. And by doing that, with these machshavas, the person is able to be malas and yitzaitzes, which is a huge, huge thing. To lift up, to extract, to be mevara, this elokus is a tachlis of our lives, of dir b'tachtonim, umesaktan. It brings a tikkun. This has to do with the whole shvirus hakelim that took place by creation and lifting up the elokus in the world that's covered, that's concealed, that has fallen. Kimegalas hamitas, and by revealing the truth, umoitzi oisam meha hastar. And through the bracha and these thoughts, the person is removing the food from its state of concealing Hashem, covering Hashem, from Hastar. And the klipas, which are the taivas, the physical taivas, and the levushim of the food, in his mind, he pushes away, that he doesn't want them. Veinam chashivas etzlo, and they don't have a chashivas by him. Bezehem nidchim umizbatlam, and in such a way, they are nidchim and mizbatlam. Ukechol she yisragel his bainain, and the more accustomed a person comes to thinking about this, shirak hapnimis shevemaychol, that only the pnimis of the food, the hainu or Hashem is baruch v'tuvo, the light of Hashem and His kindness, hu hatam hatoy. That is the good taste of the food. V'yigmer v'dayto, and to make up in his mind, clearly, shekol hana'oso hirak me'Hashem esbarach, that the hana that he's having is really me'Hashem esbarach, kach yuchol l'skadish b'achilasa. Then the act of eating will not only bring him, will not only not bring him away from Hashem, which usually, as we were learning last week, the more mogushim we become, the more distant we become from Hashem. But eating itself will actually be an opportunity to grow closer and closer to Hashem. Instead of bringing us further away, it'll bring us closer to Him. The skadish b'achilaso. And that's really what it means, kedoshim tiyu. When kedoshim tiyu, that precious doesn't mean not to eat. It means not to get lost in the food, not to get lost in the gashmis of the food. That's kedusha. Kedusha means recognizing that every single thing is a lokus, and every single moment of my life has meaning and importance, and every single thing that I'm doing is an opportunity to connect to that elokus and to reveal elokus. That's kedusha. That's what kedusha is. That through eating, a person can become his dabek to Hashem. This is not only true when it comes to the pleasure of eating, but all physical pleasures that are permissible. Shiesh l'adam. Ki ha'ikaron hu echad. Because the basic yisod is one thing. Shekol ha'tov shiesh, shekol ha'tov shiesh hu rak Hashem Yisbarach. All that is tov is Hashem Yisbarach. V'chol ha'tayvis v'atshukis l'adam. And all of the taibas that we have, and all of the chukas that we have, the desires and longings, the truth is, it's the chukas on the neshama, it's the longing of the neshama to come, to have a connection to Elokus. All the taibas and the chukas are just coverings of the taiva and the chuka for Elokus. Therefore we see, and I've mentioned this many times, so Tzadik writes about this in Sikkas HaTzadik, that we see that, like it says in Pasuk, Kol Cheshik Shlomo, and Reb Tzadik says that the Ovis, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, they were tremendous, tremendous Bali Taiva. They weren't people that were not Bali Taiva. They had tremendous chukas. They were filled with chukas and with taivas. But they understood that those taivas, those chukas, were for Elokus. That's the difference. Not that they didn't have taivas. Doesn't mean there were people that didn't have desires. They didn't have. The Gemara says the bigger the person, the bigger the yetzer, the bigger the desire, the bigger the taiva. Why? So we understand. Because since really all taivas and all chukas are for elokus in a Jew, all the taivas and the chukas are for elokus. Therefore, when it says kol cheshek shlomo, it means that Shlomo HaMelech was a big bal cheshek, and we see that on his madrega there were inyanim with that cheshek that he had to deal with. We don't understand Shlomo HaMelech's madrega. But Chazal themselves tell us that as a result of his cheshek, there were certain, on his madrega, that we don't understand, there were certain mistakes that he made on his madrega because of that cheshek. So it wasn't that, you know, one shouldn't think that Shlomo HaMelech was a person that wasn't filled with taiva, wasn't filled with cheshek. And the same thing with the Ovis, same thing with David HaMelech. They were filled with taiva, they were filled with cheshek. Their taivas were much, much stronger than ours. But they came to that place to understand that the inyan of that taiva, that cheshek, is fellow kus. And that's not only when it comes to eating, it's with all taivas, that it's fellow kus. But they had to deal with these things. Mm-hmm. They had some chukka lelokus, a chukka fellow kus.
So once a person comes, let's say, on their level to that point where they have that understanding, they've worked it through, shouldn't, in theory, the milchama against the next high madrega of taiva be easier? Because you have that understanding, that's
eloquence. Yeah, but so even within the person himself, the greater he becomes,
right.
The greater he becomes, then he's coming. Then there's a higher level of conquering the enemy, or of capturing the eloquence in a more advanced on a more advanced level,
but
in a higher
already,
level.
You already know the system.
Yes, that's why.
So you go in. More weaponized.
Yes,
more
yes, yes, absolutely. More weaponized and more armed, and the enemy becomes more fierce, and the conquests are more remarkable, and therefore these tzaddikim with their avodah, with their davening and their avodah becomes higher and higher and higher, and moving mechayel lochal from one madrega to the next. one conquest after the other. But you're right. But even you're right, because they had this knowledge. They were ready. They had the weapons. However, Hashem Yisbarach made us in such a way where even the biggest tzaddikim can have ha'alamas. They could be ha'alamas. There are moments of where there's a short in the system with the ha'alamas, when the enemy is so fierce that there's a sudden pachat that maybe I can't. There's a loss of some confidence. There's a pachat, even by the biggest tzaddikim, that there were times that. And this is something that's important for everybody to know, because they make it kilu that, you know, to make a picture kilu that tzaddikim didn't have these taivas like we have. It's not true. And that tzaddikim didn't have these muhammas. They had these muhammas. Even after they reached great madrigas, that tzaddikim spoke about how they sometimes had to, they had to contend with the most base things, like as if they were starting again. Because that's, you see, like it says by Avraham Avinu, by the Nisayan of the Akedah, it says, Vayaris ha-malkam irachok. He saw the Mokum, he saw the place from a distance. And the Sfarim tell us that Mokum is a hint to Hashem. That at the time of a person, of a Nisayan, Hashem takes away the Madregas of the Tzadi. So at that moment of the Nisayan, Vayaris, Avraham Avinu, who was such already a big person, he's already a big Oved, he's already talking to Hashem for a long time. But at the time of the Akedah, it says, Vayaris ha-malkam irachok. That he saw Hashem from a distance. He didn't have that intense feeling that he had before, that the Madregas were taken from him, and therefore the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to quote from one of the Kadmonim that with all of the Hasagas that he had in the Lakus, the Iker Inyan that he has by davening is like a child, the daven like a child, which means that in a certain way that Tzaddikim experienced this, that Hashem was constantly bringing them to higher and higher Madregas, to greater and greater Nisyanis, and that you're right, because if it would be cumulative knowledge and cumulative awareness, then at some point this is no big deal, this is a pushover. But that's not how Hashem does it. The way it works with them is that through their journey they're thrown back very often, and then by overcoming that yeser, that taiva at the time, so then they're moving ahead to some higher level of bechir, to some higher level of avaida, and therefore they're not moving from 100 to 110, 120. They're thrown back to 5 to 10, and then they go to 150, 200, and this is the life of the tzaddikim, how they're constantly pushing and they have Elias and Yeridus and their Madregas, Elias and Yeridus and Ratzav and Shaiv and back and forth. Every person has to do that. Even the Nevi'im and the Tzaddikim, they had to go through that.
It's just all of these pleasures that they're talking about are the positive pleasures, the things one runs towards, putting them in the right perspective. But what are the things people run towards or the type is to have, which are not based on running towards, which are based on like wanting to hide, like a sort of death, like sleep or TV or just the things which they don't offer any pleasure really. They're just a way of escape or killing oneself on a certain level. So
right.
I don't know if that relates in any way at all to this or if it's a completely different subject.
No, it's very important. There are different strategies with that. We're going to talk about sleep is also a taifa. It's not, you're right, it's a way of disappearing. Listen, even a person, let's say, a person has a taiva for coffee. Is that coffee?
Yeah, it's coffee.
Okay.
it's the morning, you know, we can't drink certain things till the afternoon. So
a person has a taiva for coffee, and there, that any type of an addiction, I'm not saying that whoever's drinking coffee in the morning is addicted. I suspect that they're addicted, but if you know, the ones that come in every single time with one, but it's certainly one of the least harmful addictions. But any addiction, even when it comes to a cup of coffee or whatever it might be, is a way of escaping. We know that that's what addiction is. Sleep is also a taiva. There's a taiva shame. It's a taiva So what you're asking is that, but here it's not something that there's a passion for. It seems to be more of a
running away.
But there's a passion to run away. There's a desperate need to run away.
Suicide is the highest form.
What?
Suicide is the highest form.
Yeah, that's a taiva. It's a taiva to be boreach, to escape, to run away. Now, even though
it's that taiva, like,
what?
So then we would apply the same principle. There's a lukusma taiva, and we could work on that.
So how do we now apply this avoda to something like sleep, which is. More b'sheva al ta'ase, that we need different strategies we're going to talk about. But it's also a taiva shena. All of these things that a person becomes addicted to are the person's are ways of trying to escape and to avoid and to look away from that reality of Elokus. So a person can look at sleep in a healthy way would be that, Rabbi Yisrael, I want to thank you for this tremendous gift that you've given me to replenish and to be revived and refreshed. And I know that every single moment of sleep, you are mamish, infusing me with that chiyus of Elokus. And when a person is lying there, and instead of avoiding the alarm clock and avoiding that time to get up, the person's sleep that conclusion of sleep is only the climax of that avoda of sleeping. Sleeping is not just a stam ataiva. It's an avoda. It's an avoda of again connecting. That's the end of my neshama being re-energized through its return, whatever that means to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sleep is navoda. When it's navoda, so then it's all an avoda. Going to sleep is navoda, and getting up is navoda. Going to sleep, we're gonna learn about it. That going to sleep is navoda, and to go to sleep the way that a Jew is supposed to go to sleep, and how to go to sleep as a Jew, and the thoughts that a person has when going to sleep, which of course in Kriyishma, Alamita, especially the Kriyishma of the Arizal, it's navoda. When a person's sleep is navoda, then sleeping is navoda, and getting up is navoda. It's also it's a way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to just a time of abandonment, like get me out of here. I just don't want to live. I'm running away. No, the same way when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're not running away. There's navoda. There's navoda when you're learning. There's navoda when you're davening. There's navoda when you're sleeping. Sleep is navoda. It's navoda. When a person approaches everything in his life as a means of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then sleep is not running away. Sleeping is going towards Hashem. It's going towards Hashem. Therefore, when a person, I don't remember if he doesn't have a separate thing on Shein. It's just included on Shein on sleeping, but it is part of what we're learning. For one of the simonim of somebody who's a bala vaida is that his sleeping is with a seder as well. It's not just falling asleep all the time or erratic hours of sleeping, and on Sunday morning he sleeps till 10 o'clock, and on work day he sleeps till 5 o'clock. It's not the simon of a person who's a bala vaida is that he has a kriyas in his sleeping. It's navoda. It's like everything else. You come to Beis HaMikdash, if you learn a little bit Zvachim and Achis, you learn a little bit Midas and Tamid, you see every single inch, every single moment, every single centimeter, every single second in the Beis HaMikdash is accounted for, right? Every single thing that you're doing in the Beis HaMikdash is prote proteus. It's so meduyik in the Beis HaMikdash. Every single thing in the Beis HaMikdash. When a person is living a life of avoda, sleep is not just, he doesn't just mafkir himself to sleep. It's an avoda. And avoda is with a cheshbon. It's a cheshbon. How long do I sleep? That doesn't mean a person can't say, okay, so there's an inyan of anyantiv, sleeping a little bit later, right? It's part of one's avoda. And one can incorporate that into one's avoda to get a little bit more rest. And if a person has off from work on Sunday or on a chalavayit and he wants to daven at a later minyan, and he wants to take an extra hour of sleep, so then that could be incorporated into one's avoda as well. But when a person is just gives himself over to that taiva of sleeping, just gives himself over to it, and just is mufgar to that feeling of wanting to go to sleep or needing to sleep, so then he's in that place of running away. He's in that place of running away. You know, the people with so now Shabbos is getting longer. So, you know, the people that have those 3-4 hour naps on Shabbos afternoon. That it's things that people that are mafka themselves to the need of sleeping and so on. That's clearly a means of escaping from the world. It's not Navaid. Navaid is with a kviyas. Every single Shabbos, whether it's winter or it's summer, a person should have a nap on Shabbos if it's okay. And the children, your wife don't need you, and you're able to get away for a little bit. So you're able to have you make an exact time what the sleep is. I have my sleep on Shabbos is 48 minutes. I've been doing that for 45 years. And I wake up exactly 48 minutes. Because I'm murgal to that, which I'm a little embarrassed because it's a little bit long and it's embarrassing, but it's 48 minutes to the second. 48 minutes my Shabbos now. You could ask my wife. You could set your clock on it. 48 minutes. So, 48 minutes. And you make a kviyas. This is the time. Everybody could say, I need more. My life is hard. I don't get enough sleep. Okay, I don't know, the person, the doctor said, I don't know, they don't get enough sleep. Most people get too much sleep. But to make a kviyas, and when a person has a kviyas, the same way you have a seder, that you're learning, you have your harusas for an hour, you have your davening, you have work, there's a certain time of work, there's a certain time when it comes to going to sleep, getting up, with a kviyas. Not just a person that stays around half asleep till 2-3 in the morning, dragging around and looking at things and here and there, and then he needs to sleep more in the morning. Then it's the opposite of avodah. It becomes just another type of an addiction. But there's a lot that's so. It's also taiva. There's a taiva. It's a taiva to sleep. It's a taiva to. So those taivas of running away, all addictions and sleeping and eating is also a type, becomes a dependency on eating, and when you're not the shoylet umanig, the food is in control of you. You're not in control of eating. The eating is in control of you. So all the same, yisod. But of course, in each one of these taivas, they have to try to understand more that particular taiva and strategies of how to contend with lifting up the nitzaitis and sleep as well. Before a person goes to sleep, it's a very chashuv thing to see Puri Tzaddikim, to read about Tzaddikim, to say Kriya Shema Lamita strong. Not Kriya Shema Lamita when you're falling asleep, but to say Kriya Shema Lamita in a strong way, to make it a big avoid of Kriya Shema Lamita and so on. And to make Zmanim of when to get up and so on. It's the things that one has to do. Has to. This is what needs to be, that everything in life is an avoda, not just... running away. Okay, look at the footnote Mem Dalet on page Lamed Aleph. Now this is a big subject in Tanya, at the beginning of Tanya. But v'hinei ba'anos ha'asuros gam yesh nitzaitz. Now everything that exists has elokus in it. That means even a piece of treif, even something that's also has in it elokus. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to exist. Sheshovu b'klipas, that's trapped or that's contained in the klipas. B'koychehem moishchem es adam, and through those klipas, through the nitzaitz that's found in the klipas, there's an attraction that Isser has for a person as well. The things that are forbidden, also pull at a person. Since everything contains a locus, even those things that are also have a certain seductive quality, a very powerful koach to draw a person. Again, that's coming from the Elokus that's within. Now, here, of course, is where the Tanya tells us how careful we have to be, lest we think that we're Bali Madrega, that Chas V'Chalila, like there were Rishayim. This is one of the biggest things about the false Mashiach, about Shab Zay Tzvi, Yimach Shemal, that he was doing all kinds of Averis, and he said he was doing these Averis in order to bring out the Elokus in the Averis. So, this is very, very dangerous, obviously. The avoda, when it comes to Dvar Masurim, is to stay away from them, not to go there. Elisha, but Dvar Masurim, when it comes to things that are Aser, Beglal Shah Klipa Sham Gedola, the Klipa is very, very strong. EF Shalahitzis Nitzaitz Mimkamo. That's not our avoda. Is there an inni like that by certain tzaddikim? That's not, is there such a thing as not Averi Lishma? We're not Isaac in these things at all. Averi Lishma, we're not Isaac in these things. Our avoda is to stay away from these things. EF Shalahitzis Nitzaitz Mimkamo. We don't venture into those places. Aide Shimushba. Elo Lahepach is just the opposite. Our avoda, when it comes to things that are also, is davka yidai his garbus melehenos miyasa. There, it's not looking at that thing that's also and remembering that even this thing comes from Hashem, which is true, it does come from Hashem. That's not the avoda. Looking at the avoda zara, looking at the at that inappropriate thing, and remembering that this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we know, it's brought down this farm from a certain great tzaddik, Reb Yitzchak, from Akka, there was a big tzaddik, and it's brought down that he would see something that was not appropriate, and he would all he would see was the Elokus and so on. And we have stories from Tanoim and Amoraim. That's not our avoda. Our avoda is that the way to be maler than Yitzchak is by being misgaver, by saying no to that, and that's the way that we're maler than Yitzchak is. Davka idei has garbus melahenis mehisa. That's the challenge of the issa. The challenge when it comes to Dvar Masurim is to say no. Dafke des garbus melehenes meis, and not to have any hanor from this, sir. And through that, humotzio. That's the amazing thing. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to rescue the princess, even from those things that are also. But the way to rescue is not by indulging. The way to rescue is by saying no. And when you say no, then that elokus is able to escape. It's kilo when you say no, then the iser. Then the iser disappears, and the elokus, the princess, runs out. She's able to get out.
So, Rebbe, to say no, you're releasing that energy that's stuck in that klipa,
yeah,
and then freeing it for elokus.
Yeah. There, the avoda is the refraining. That's the avoda. The avoda of saying aser, lo. And in that way, you're freeing the elokus. Exactly, you're freeing the elokus, and you know that works psychologically as well. That's the only way to get rid of that appeal of the iser is when a person says, "Absolutely not, ani choma, ani chom, I'm a wall, lo, afilo pamechas, not for a second am I going to give into this." That's the avoda. And when a person says lo, then poof, it's an amazing thing. When a person says lo be'emes lo. Then humotzio, then you're bringing out the princess, and then you don't have this problem with the tiger for that iser disappears very quickly, in certain ways much faster than something that's permissible, and that's a tiger. When it comes to iser, if a person is a mechazik himself, and he's strong in that low, no, so then the whole delusion just falls away. It just disappears. It's nothing because it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to you. When it comes to Issa, yeah.
In the Purim Maimon, though, he says not to try to fight it directly. In but say, when you get a tithe or something, you say it's Ribbono Shel Olam is loving me right now by sending additional aha,
yes,
additional sparks. So don't just say, I love Hashem, I love Hashem, I love Hashem.
Right? Yeah, well, that's right. That's the positive way of staying focused on who you are and what the tachlis is. But in practice, in mitzvahs, you're saying no. He's just saying you should focus. Our avoda in chassidus is more to focus on what I what at this moment in a positive way I should be mizdabik to.
Yeah, that's your strategy.
Right, that's right. It's a strategy. I'm mizdabik to the Tov, which is Hashem, who loves me by sending this nisayon, because he's bringing me to a, he's telling me, you could do this, you could come to a higher madrega. And folks stay focused on that yes to Elokus, to Hashem's love. And it's a powerful strategy to give you the strength to be able to look at this and to lift it and to go away and to walk away from it. That's for sure. Right? And that Chassidus focuses on much more than the Musa Sfarim, which is the entire focus is on low. Here by Chassidus, the focus is on the alternative of Cain, which is Elokus, which is Hashem's love. That's the whole focus of Chassidus on that what I can do and what this means, which is an opportunity to show greater love to Hashem. But that's the birur that takes place.
Are you saying that a tzaddik has a different course than no?
Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehem Levavav. I'm sorry, Doug. What?
Is the Rebbe saying that the tzaddik has a different?
No, it's for everybody.
Isn't it saying no?
No, it's
there
for
is another way. Everybody says no, even the tzaddik.
Everybody says no. All I was just saying now, what my shiur is that in terms of the tzaddik's, again, tzaddik means all of us. I'm a chum tzaddik. In terms of the focus, what the tzaddik is concentrating on is more of that. Of that dveikus to Hashem, that opportunity for dveikus to Hashem, as opposed to a weaker person that he's more likely just trying to get out of the situation to survive. The tzaddik is not just a matter of survival; he has a chiyus from the fact that this nisayon comes his way. It gives him a chiyus that he's able to show his love for Hashem. It's more on the positive and to feel that love of Hashem when he has nisayon. When we get nisayonis, we feel, oh, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And the tzaddik says, doesn't it actually say, like, you know, bring it on? But the tzaddik doesn't feel that this is Hashem's turning me away. It's Hashem's drawing me close to him.
And what did the Rebbe say about Shabtai Tzvi? What did he do?
He was doing Aveiras. And B'shas Maisi, when he was doing an Aveira, he was saying that I'm doing this Aveira, L'shem Yuchu Kishu B'chu Shchintei, to bring out the Nitzoytzes of Elokus that are inside this forbidden woman. That's what he did in a shul. It was a shocking thing that he did. He took a woman and he did an aveira in the shul in front of everybody.
It was over at that point, as far as people believing him.
No, he wasn't.
Still believe
him. Over at that point, there were Jews that continued to believe in Shabtai Tzvi for 150, 200 years after he died. Not in large numbers, but that certainly didn't end the parasha of Shabtai Tzvi. No, but they were very religious people. We wouldn't be taken in by these things because we're not so impressed with spiritual fervor, but they were very religious people. They were looking for Hashem in a very strong way, and there were some very great people that were taken in. But that shook up a lot of the.
That was a game changer for some.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it was a game changer. Like this, you know, this is too much for us. Yeah, but. But this is one of the fears that the Misnagdim had when it came to the Chassidim. Of course, not Havdol, a million Havdol, but there was a fear, because Chassidus is a rebellion, but it's a rebellion in a way that's mutter, in a way that's a mitzvah, but it's still a rebellion of sorts. And they had just come off, 100 years before, from Shabtai Tzvi, and there was still very powerful reverberations of that, and there were still many thousands of Jews that were still believing in those things, there were tzaddikim that were afraid that chassidus could lead to such things as well. There was a tremendous fear of them. Let's just do footnote Mem Dalet. Let's finish it rather. Yeah, ki kasher ha'adam, the last lines of Laman Aleph on the bottom. Because when a person does not give in to this klipa, then he's able to show that this is sheker. This is just a nisayin. It's a nisayin. Like the story that I told you that we in the Chabus Yosef Tzadik that we learned about the Chayzim Lublin when he was in that crazy situation where this woman that was coming after him. And then remember, the Chayzer was a mechazik himself, and there was no house, there was no girl, everything was gone. So the deeper shot than that doesn't mean that the girl never was, that the girl or the house disappeared and then, you know, there was nothing there and it was an imaginary house. The disappearance of the house and the disappearance of the girl meant that there was a house there and there was a girl there. But it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything. It meant nothing to him. Because he came to that place of Elikos, so the house disappeared, the girl disappeared, everything was gone. It was gone. And we could do that too. We could do that too. The Chayza told over that Maisi about himself was to tell us that we could do it too. He wasn't showing off. The Chayza did a lot of fancy things. He didn't talk about them. But what the Chayza was saying is that there was no girl, there was no house. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. Except Elikos. Which means that the Chayza walked away from that a better Jew than he was before. A stronger Jew than he was before. What about the girl? She was there. She was alive. But he left it and he walked away. He took her very seriously a moment before. Akidekach that he was telling her, the whole world that he almost gave into that. And then it was gone. And that's, on a deeper level, that's the meaning of Yosef HaTzadik, Vayonis Ve'etzeh Achutza. It's this form talk about that. Yosef HaTzadik, Vayonis Ve'etzeh Achutza. He ran away. Ve'etzeh Achutza. Achutza doesn't mean that he had to go, although he did have to go away, he ran away. But Achutza means he went out from that place of the Klipa. And from there he became Yosef HaTzadik. Meant that he was drawn towards that, and Yosef HaTzadik was Mezgaber, and Ve'yetzeh Achutza, he went out of it completely, he was gone. No more. He was gone. U'bezehu shoyves HaKlipa. And through that a person breaks the klipa. Because the klipa, the impurity, thrives on our taking it seriously. That's what the klipa thrives on taking it seriously. It's like all germs, all bacteria, it's like COVID-19. The biggest chiyus COVID-19 has is how people are continuing to take it so seriously. Which doesn't mean I'm saying, I repeat, so I don't get arrested, and I don't lose my license to make weddings. Or something. That doesn't mean, everybody hear that in the neighborhood, it doesn't mean that you don't have to be cautious. But it thrives on Jews who are taking it, people, the world, that's taking it so seriously. This virus is saying, I'm a chaya. Ah, look at this guy, he's walking around in the street with his mask on, with his helmet on, and what a machaya. That gives the chiyus to the klipa. The biggest chiyus the klipa gets is from people taking it seriously. It's the biggest chiyus. And I'm not saying it's a limud zchus, but there's a certain inyan and avoda of not taking it seriously. But of course, one has to be very careful with these things. One has to be very, very careful. But that's the chiyus that the klipa always gets. And when you say that, it's a mamash tzchok. It's a tzchok. It's nothing. It's nothing. Now somebody showed me yesterday, they're putting in the Jewish magazine, the front magazine, that there's a Jewish, a wonderful Jewish organization that's offering a grant. I don't know if any of you saw this. Mm-hmm. They're offering a grant if you could think of in your shul of ways to bring Jews back to shul. You drove them away from shul, and now you're trying to figure out a way to come up with a grant. A grant? I'm so embarrassed that they did such a thing. It's so embarrassing. I mean, I know they mean the tzaddikim, they're the best people, but I'm so embarrassed by it. Do you have to grant to think of ways to bring shul people back to shul? Like, what about Ashrei and Yishtabach? You need a grant to bring people back to shul? But I know what, because...
Because it works.
But that's not working.
It's a problem.
No, the children.
In other words, the Ashrei is not working.
I'm in trouble with the children, the rabbis have told me, David, pay them.
What?
When I had trouble getting the children to do various things.
Oh, to give them prizes.
Growing up, the rabbi just said...
Prizes.
Payment.
Yeah, so this is... This is what's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We're talking about people that went to yeshiva, the people that learned Torah, and are saying, think of how to get them out of their little hiding place. Let's talk about hiding. Out of their tents, out of their basement, or wherever they are. To get them out of their little sushi kedushim and things in the backyard, and now to give grants,
well, we
such a bullshit, such a chep, but to claw yourself, to say such a thing.
COVID.
What?
people were making kedushin, right? Wasn't that the same?
Yeah, it's the same thing. And now Lars Kabanovitz said, I'm so embarrassed that they're doing that. I feel, how can you put such a thing in an advertisement? And I mean, even though I understand that they want to do something great, and I hope, I don't know, but it's just a bullshit to talk to people like that, for prizes, to have people come to shul. What are you going to do? They're going to make a juggling act in front of the shul on Shabbos? And, maybe they should have ladies walking around in bathing suits offering drinks to people? What do you have to? You don't have to give any grants. It'll be much cheaper, $5,000. You can get the girl for $500 to walk in front of the shul, and she'll walk in front of the shul, get a nice pretty girl to walk in front of the shul, and all the men in the neighborhood, all the young guys with their hair slicked back, And their big kiddush cups, they're all going to come into the shul because there's a pretty girl that's standing outside offering drinks. Is this what's become of us? This is what's become of us? Abush and Echeb? How to get people to come back to shul? It's a sickness. And we have to fight not to give in to this. A pachad, the people have a sickness. Whatever it is, mixed with a pachad, they're running away, and now using this as an opportunity to be mit alim, to run away from Yiddishkeit, to run away from shul. And the children are seeing these things, davening, and they see their parents davening in tents, and not to go back into shul, and you have to give a grant to offer money to people that they shouldn't go to, that they should go to shul? Go with bulldozers, knock all these tents down. Take them apart. And if there are a few older people, they're afraid, or their doctor says, then daven at home. And let them daven at home. So we need to have these things going anymore. It's ridiculous.
In all seriousness,
I'm serious.
No, I'm just saying, though, in all seriousness, if one son, for example, is going to one of these backup minions, Motzi Shabbos, because it's much easier, it's much quicker, I schlep all the way to the shul. By example, I go to shul, so I hope we'll get it. But what do I say that, no, you really shouldn't be in a backyard?
It's bad for that's why it's terrible for the kids. And there are a lot of fathers that are telling me this, not from here, but I have one, there was one that was telling me, but I've heard this from other people, that it's terrible because the kids say, what do I have to go? I have down the block.
I show by example, I go to shul.
That's what you do. Just keep on doing that. But there was a father here that said, maybe I should go with my son, this way I can get my son to daven. I said, no, you don't do that. You go to shul. And when your kid's mature enough and he's old enough, he'll come with you. And if any of you wants to go to the backyard, let him daven in his bed if it's comfortable. But then you're not going with him to the tent. Let's just finish the sentence. And that's why any time that we're misgabra and Yetzirah and we don't give in, we say no, we feel an intense pleasure afterwards. Right? That's the Tanakh Vilakus. That pleasure you feel after you say no, you said no, and you walk away, you know, tradition. And you walk away. That pleasure that you feel afterwards, that's the elokus. That's the elokus. You know, you freed the princess. And that's the elokus. Then you connect to that elokus by saying no. Oh, look, gotta go that way.